WINX St. Michael's.
We're not ready to go yet. Is there any way you can send this thing into overtime?
Yeah.
No problem.
I don't know what he was looking at, but we're going into overtime.
Welcome in, 9:35 on the OTL, week number 9, almost complete. In the Bayside Conference, one more game to go. That would be tomorrow at noon, Counting Stadium in Salisbury, between Jaya Bennett and Stephen Decatur. But that really has no bearing on much of anything outside of a win or loss for those teams. No playoff implications. Doesn't affect anybody else. And I tell you what, we thought we might go to overtime in this game. The way the first half went, we didn't have a score until, 6-11, I believe it was, in the second quarter. Mike Bradley, company live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. Let's get right to that Brett Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard. Brett Moy Therapy Associates providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. And as you heard here at our Friday Night Lights Overtime Live, game of the week. It was Queen Anne's, a 19-7 winner over North Carolina as Queen Anne's improves to 8-1. North Carolina dropping to 7-2. The rest of the scores from tonight: Kent Island, a perfect 9-0, 35-7 winners over Parkside, who drops to 5-4. Parkside led this one 7-6 after the first quarter, and it was 13-7 at the half. Easton getting a 23-12 win over Wicomico. They led just 8-0 at halftime. Easton improving to 6-3. Wicomico dropping to 3-6. Cambridge, South Dorchester, all over Snow Hill. 62-24, the final in this one. They scored, 52 points, 55 points in the first half of that one. Might have been 49. Somewhere along those lines. They did get a couple of scores in the second half. But Cambridge improving again to 7-2. Snow Hill dropping to 0-9. But kudos to Snow Hill. I know they were playing backups, but kudos to Snow Hill for continuing to fight and getting some scores on the board in that one. It was Kent County on the road. They had a long trip. I believe this was over a three-hour drive to the Eastern Shore of Virginia to take on Arcadia of Virginia. Kent County, a 48-13 winner in a non-conference affair. Kent County now 5-4 on the year. They drop Arcadia to 3-6, I believe is their record. Colonel Richardson, a huge win on the road against Washington. 20-6 the final in this one. Colonel Richardson now 4-4. Washington drops to 3-6. This was a huge game with playoff implications. And as we take a look coming into today, and I'm just waiting for my file here to load. I've got a million pages open, as you could well imagine. But if you came in, or if you take a look, that is, at the point standings coming into week number 9, you had Cambridge in the 1 seed in the 1A East, Bow Manor in the 2 seed, Kent County in the 3 seed, then Colonel Richardson in the 4 seed, coming in with 23.1 points, an average of 3.30. Perryville right behind him at 23 points even at a 2.88 average. So Colonel Richardson wins tonight. That's huge because Perryville defeated Joppa Town by a score of 31-8. So Perryville right on the heels of Colonel Richardson. Now Colonel Richardson defeated a Washington team that did have, two wins coming in. They came in at 2-6. I think I said that they were 3-6. They came in at 2-6 on the season. Washington now 2-7. So Washington carried with it two bonus points there, and Joppa Town with 3 wins. So taking a look at things with the points, we'll have to see how that. I haven't done the math yet. Haven't had a chance to do the math yet. We're going to have to see how that all plays itself out. It could be that Perryville leaps Colonel Richardson despite the win tonight, but we shall see about that. But either way, Colonel really needed the win, and they got it, 20-6 the final in that one. Game coming up tomorrow, as I may mention, J.M. Bennett at 3-5 hosting Steve Decatur at 0-8, kickoff of that game at noon. So taking a look at the scoreboard tonight, any surprises? Not really in my mind. Look, this Queen Anne's North Carolina game, you thought it would be close. It was. I get it. A wet field. There was certainly some opportunities that were missed in this game for North Carolina. But both teams had to play on the wet field. You had some key drops in this one as well. That didn't help. You had some fumbles. And a big play at the end of the first half for Queen Anne's in this one. And that was the difference in the game. You know, they added one more. Some issues with special teams for Queen Anne's that they have to get cleaned up for next week. Because if they don't, that could be very problematic taking on Kent Island in the War on the Shore, given the job that Kent Island has done on special teams. In fact, they owe their first three wins this year to special teams and defense. But I picked Queen Anne's in this one. I thought they were the more well-rounded team of the two. However, Queen Anne's really only had to lean on the arm of Mike D'Angelo a couple of times tonight. However, on a big play, that was the difference in the game. Although a lot of that came on the completion of the receiver himself and getting down the sideline on a play to the flats on a 50-yard touchdown pass. But really a lot of that was on the receiver. So they didn't have to call on Mike D'Angelo as much. Cody Pepper was called upon late in the game, couple of picks. And that certainly didn't help. And I thought they had the advantage of quarterback in this one. And that played out, but you know, a lot of it more had to do with the running game, who was able to run the ball more successfully, who was able to stop the run more successfully. And Coit Ann's clearly coming out the winner there tonight in that one. But these two teams very well could face each other down the line here. And that would be another excellent game. Looking forward to that. May not be a whole lot of points scored. But anyway, I did have Queen Anne's tonight over North Carolina. It goes that way. Kent Island in a bit of a game with Parkside, but they end up pulling away 35-7 the final in that one. You know, Easton over Wicomico. That game was a lot closer than I thought it would be. As I made mention in my blog in the What We Learned segment at OvertimeLive.net, you know, even though Easton's playoff chances were pretty remote, still mathematically possible, even though they were pretty remote, I certainly felt with, 17 seniors or so on the team that they were going to finish strong this season, no matter the loss last week to Kent Island. And indeed, that has come to fruition. We'll talk to head coach Matt Griffith, among others, coming up a little bit later on tonight about that one. And that sets up, of course, everybody's talking about the big War on the Shore game, but Easton-Cambridge ought to be an excellent game next week in Cambridge. It sets up a really good 2A, 1A matchup there between two teams. And, you know, the Easton seniors, the Cambridge seniors, they want to go out winners. Cambridge has pretty much dominated over the last 10 years in terms of wins. There have been several close games, though, in the series, but Cambridge has dominated that series over the last 10 years or so. I think Easton would love to put an end to that next week. That ought to be a good one. Kent County has a big game next week against Falston, but they get a win tonight to better themselves. But unfortunately for Kent County, you know, Bo Manor, I don't have the exact score, but Bo Manor was the winner tonight. So Kent County still trailing points-wise there in the 1A East. And, of course, they would love to be able to host a playoff game. But at the end of the day, just getting in, that's first and foremost. And if you can host a game, well, that's really icing on the cake. But you just want to have a seat at the table, as North Carolina head coach James McCormick is often said to or often quoted as saying that is. All right, let's go out to the hotline. Not sure who this is, but this is Overtime Live. Who's this?
Your operator.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that was a wrong number. Maybe they wanted to make a country request. Nash Nights Live coming up later after Overtime Live, but we still have plenty of the show to come. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back. We're going to catch up with the coaches around the Bayside. Again, the Overtime Live Friday Night Lights Game of the Week. Queen Anne's improving to 8-1, 19-7 winners over North Carolina, who finishes at 7-2. More to come. It's 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net.
When you have friends, business associates, or family visiting, you want them to stay at the best hotel. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites is now the number one rated hotel in Easton, according to TripAdvisor. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites also received the Distinguished Best Western Director's Award for excellent quality assurance. Plush accommodations, a friendly staff, and breakfast every morning awaits. To make a reservation, call 410-822-7100 or go to bestwesterneaston.com. Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8044.
Tune in every week of the regular season to Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites, to see who is chosen as the Overtime Live Carpool Car Wash Coach of the Week. That coach will receive a free car wash, courtesy of the Carpool in Easton and Salisbury. Back to more of Overtime Live, Maryland's only high school football sports show on game night, here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
At 9:46, coming to you live from the Edge Trading Academy studios, Mike Bradley with you. Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. All but one game left to go in week number 9. And next week, of course, rivalry week at the Bayside, which I think is great. And joining us now on the coaches line, Easton Warriors have football coach Matt Griffin joining us as Easton winners tonight 23-12 over Wicomico. Easton improving to 6-3 on the season. Wicomico dropping to 3-6. And coach, I don't know if you heard my comments, but as I made mention, I know that last week, despite the loss, still mathematically possible to get in the playoffs, but I said playoffs or no playoffs. I thought with the amount of seniors you had on this team, the fact that you guys have made great strides from last year, that you guys would finish the season strong. So I didn't think there would be a hangover tonight against Wicomico, and certainly there won't be one next week against Cambridge. But talk to us about the game tonight. I know this one was just 8-0, though, at halftime.
Yeah, we were a little sluggish getting started, and I think there was actually a little bit of a hangover, and we're battling some sicknesses among several of the players, and just didn't come out and play, you know, the kind of football that we're used to playing, and, you know, let Wi-Hi hang around for a little bit, and then finally got some momentum going in the second half and put it away.
And, well, to be fair, yeah, you expect, I guess, a little bit of that coming off the loss, but certainly thought that, right, even if a slow start, that the team would pull away in the second half, and indeed they did in this one. Did that triple option offense give you any problems tonight, Coach?
You know, I thought Wi-Hi, from where they've been, starting the beginning of the season to where they are now, we've seen several films. They're doing a very nice job with it. We had, you know, a couple missed assignments, and when you're defending the triple option, if you don't tackle a fullback, quarterback, and pitch man every time, you know, there's an opportunity for them to bust a big play. They had one or two, and, you know, we did some things uncharacteristic, had some bad special team play with a botched snap and then another bad punt. So put us backs against the wall a few times when we didn't have to.
In terms of the offense, which for the most part this year has been an offense that's been able to score a lot of points, talking about a sluggish start, was it penalties? Was it just lack of following through on execution? What was it exactly early on?
Execution on our part. We dropped some balls, had some bad reads, things that we've been doing very well throughout the year. We just didn't do well. You know, again, like I said, across the board, you could see when we warmed up tonight, I told all the coaches, you know, we're going to have to fight through this one. We looked a little lackadaisical and just didn't come out with that oomph, and we finally got it in the second half.
And one of those touchdowns coming from the defense tonight, so the offense held to, 15 points tonight, I believe.
Yes. Zach Strand picked up a backwards pass in the fourth quarter there, ran it back about 50 yards or so for a touchdown.
But at the end of the day, Coach, coming out the victor 23-12 in this one, and you know, you take a look at, again, this time last year, where you are this year, building upon that, you got to feel good about that, and you've set yourself up nicely for a big rivalry game next week.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we'll take a win any way we can get it. You know, we're going to finish out the season with Cambridge, which is our rivalry game, and good football team we get to play, and, you know, there's a lot of friends between our team and their team, you know, with other sports that they play, with basketball and AAU. So I know our kids are going to be jacked up for it, and Cambridge is always jacked up. you always can throw the records out when we play. It's a good football game between us.
Coach, I'm curious because you talked about getting off to a sluggish start tonight in terms of practice early in the week or maybe just practice as a whole this week. How did the team bounce back from that loss to Kent Island?
It was a rough start to the week. We got some smart kids on the team. They knew our backs were pretty much against the wall in reference to how the playoff picture would work out, what would need to happen. And, I think they truly were just a little disappointed in where they were and, had to find a way to fight through it tonight.
And, Coach, what were you able to say to them this week, or what was the message this week going forward after a tough loss like that?
First off, I commend them the way they played last week. I thought they left everything out on the field, played a great football game. I told them, listen, the only thing we can control is us winning the next two games guarantees us an opportunity to still be mathematically alive. If we don't win the next two games, there's nothing to talk about. So let's take one week at a time. Let's get focused on Y High. And, again, we struggled on that early. And, as we progressed, we got better, but not to what we've been used to. And, now we're going to put our mind and focus on Cambridge.
Well, Coach, as you know, with this great game of football as well, a lot of life lessons that can be taught. And sometimes you have to fail to succeed. Sometimes you have to go through some of these experiences to learn so that in the future, whether it be on the football field or off, that you could benefit from it. If anything, for the seniors, they could take a look at last week and say, look, in the future, in the boardroom or in the classroom, et cetera, that, I can't beat myself. I might not be able to control all the factors with something that I'm competing for, if you will. But I certainly don't want to beat myself, and if I can do that, then I've got at least a pretty good shot of being successful.
Absolutely, and for the coaches that have been around a while and have played, it's hard to keep a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid focused for, not only just 10 weeks of the season, but prior to that, and, keeping them on point and, getting not just one, but all of them to buy in each and every week and, take the ups and downs and learn from it and see what happens.
Well, I don't think you'll have any issue with the kids bouncing back, obviously coming off a win and a big rivalry game coming up. And as we've talked about, I know in the win column and the loss column, I know Cambridge has had pretty much a dominating last couple of 10 years or so. But as you talked about, there have been a lot of close games in the last 10 years as well, though. And I think coming in, actually, you guys, I give you guys the edge in this one just all the way around. So ought to be a great one, no question.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And always enjoy playing Coach Coleman, and he does a great job with those kids there at Cambridge.
Well, Coach, congrats on the win tonight, 23-12 over Wicomico. Easton improving to 6-3. Wicomico dropping to 3-6. And the Warriors going to try to go for win number 7 and finish off the year on a winning note against the Vikings next week. Coach, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. We'll talk next Friday.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Appreciate it. Head Coach Matt Griffith of the Easton Warriors. And this program, again, this is the turnaround team this year. They were the, I'll say, wild card, the 2A East, because this is a team that got better this year, was in a lot of very close games against the top teams, and just came up a little bit short each time. And week one, by a point. But coach decided to go for two there, be aggressive, get behind his kids and say, hey, we're here to win a football game. We're coming up against the defending 2A East Region champs, we're going to go for it. And you give Coach a lot of credit for that. And at the same time, that might have been their best shot to win that game, given how many points were scored. So you take a look at the season here, and I know those losses are tough, but still a lot of progress has been made. And they still have a chance to finish the season strong with two wins and one potentially over their arch rival, so we shall see. All right, we're going to stop down. We'll come back. We'll talk to more of the coaches around the Bayside as a week number 9 almost in the books again tomorrow. J.M. Bennett at 3-5 hosting 0-8 Stephen Decatur, kickoff at noon. But no real implications in that one. I mean, if Decatur were to get their first win, that would be big for them going into the game against Snow Hill next week, in which you would expect they would win. Maybe they could finish off the season with two straight wins. It's been very difficult for that program over the last couple of years, and especially this year. And you feel for them, but boy, the Snow Hill story is even tougher to digest, if you will, with the numbers that they have. So we'll see tomorrow with Bennett. Disappointing, they can't replicate what they did last year, going to the playoffs at 3-5. But they'll try to finish the season on a couple of winning notes. So that game again tomorrow at County Stadium in Salisbury. We're back with more next.
Turn to Chesapeake College and discover the Eastern Shore's best programs for today's hottest healthcare careers. Chesapeake's state-of-the-art facilities and world-renowned faculty are revolutionizing the healthcare profession. From nurses and paramedics to phlebotomists and pharmacy technicians, Chesapeake graduates cure and care for our community. Fall classes begin August 22nd. Enroll today. Visit chesapeake.edu or call 410-822-5400. That's 410-822-5400. Your time, your place. Chesapeake College.
Here's what your friends and neighbors are saying about Higginbottom Orthodontics.
The doctors and their staff are amazing, always pleasant and professional, and explain everything thoroughly to my children. It's obvious that they genuinely care about their patients.
At Higginbottom Orthodontics, we believe that every day is something to smile about. Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Higginbottom, and along with my dad, Dr. Mark Higginbottom, and my brother, Dr. Kyle Higginbottom, we invite you to choose us first for all of your orthodontic needs. We have over 50 years of experience in treating your family like our family with braces, clear braces, and Invisalign services for all ages. Schedule your free initial consultation today. Flexible payment options are available, and to find out more about our office, please visit us online at HigginbottomOrthodontics.com or call our office at 410-822-3626 and see how we can help you smile with style.
Football season is here, and Kerry O, where do you go for your tailgating supplies?
The only place to go, Krabby Grawls.
With locations in St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge.
We've got all your tailgating needs, Mark Potter, from Bloody Mary mixes to gourmet mustards, hot sauces, and barbecue sauces.
Everything you need to slap on your meat available at Krabby Grawls.
Don't forget your bacon ketchup and your hoodies.
It's all available at Krabby Grawls, St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge, and available online at KrabbyGrawl.com.
Harrison's Chesapeake House on Tilghman Island invites you to spend a Friday night enjoying their all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet for just $24.99. Enjoy shrimp eight different ways, plus barbecue ribs, their famous fried chicken, hush puppies, and all of the veggies. Buddy Harrison serves up the prime rib and seafood buffet every Saturday night. Spend the day and night at Harrison's on the water on Tilghman Island. For great food, fishing trips, and fun, head to Harrison's Chesapeake House. Check them out online at ChesapeakeHouse.com.
The games are over, the lights are off, and the crowds have gone home. But we are just getting started. It's time to analyze the games, hear from the coaches, and look ahead to next week in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM and SFMSports.net.
And 9:57 on the OTL, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus Easton Inn & Suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. Let's go right back out to the coaches' line. Joining us is Kent Island head football coach Damian Ferragamo, as Kent Island remains perfect all the season at now 9-0, winners tonight over the Parkside Rams by a final score of 35-7. Coach, congratulations, and just one away from a perfect season, which I know that when you go into the season, you're looking to win, you're looking to go to the playoffs, and, well, you can't do any better than the 9-0, and all you can do is 1-0 each week. And, well, next week, if you go 1-0, you've done it perfectly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just proud of our guys for stepping up this week and getting a victory against a tough Parkside team. I know it was 35-7, but it was a lot tougher than that score indicates.
I was going to say, early on in this one, Parkside taking advantage of a fumble, and they go up in this one 7-0. You guys respond with a touchdown, but a very rare Bert Schreckengast missed extra point. Schreckengast had his extra point to make it 7-6. But then quickly you guys rebound. But this was a Parkside team, though, and I believe you said this last week to Mark after the Easton game, that matched up very well with you.
Oh, yeah, and the thing is they eat up a lot of clock. You know, they are a downhill running team just like us. And, they put themselves in those third and shorts, and they get themselves in fourth and ones, and they go for it with their big bats. And, a couple first downs, next thing you know, half the quarter's over. So, they're pretty good at what they do, and we got a defensive score today. Held them on a fourth down, got real good field position, so the score really didn't indicate the type of game it was.
You guys bounce right back after Parkside goes up 7-0. You bounce back Jordan Marciano to Sean Mooney, and that's been a really successful combination. And probably Sean Mooney doesn't get a lot of attention, Coach, but I know you think very highly of him.
Oh, absolutely. He had another fade in the end zone that I think he did catch for another touchdown today. I think he had a couple catches for 50 or 60 yards today. But he's a weapon on the outside that makes people be honest. And, our plan was to get him the ball a lot more than we did today. It's just the circumstances of the game, didn't call for it. And what we have are unselfish players. They understand sometimes they're going to get it, sometimes they're not. And, if he's out there soft blocking, he's happy as can be doing it.
Well, and you look at a guy like Sean Mooney, if you don't have a good corner against him and you have to start committing a safety over there, that's two guys right there. That's one less guy potentially that's going to come up and try to wreak havoc against your run game, knowing that, of course, that you guys are a predominant run team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you put one guy over there, we're going there. that's all there is to it. I mean, I'm not giving away anything. We've done that consistently over 2 years. So you have to give somebody some help on him because – number one, his hands are great, and he's a much better athlete than people give him credit for.
And Jordan Marciano, a coach, again, you don't put up the ball in the air a whole lot, so when he does go back to pass, it doesn't have a lot of margin for error if you're only throwing 7-8 times a game, but it looks like he's been more successful than not in those touchdown throws, obviously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He did a great job today. He made a great play on the edge. Early in the second half to put us in scoring position as well. The funny thing is, the type of team we are, I think we have one of the best receiving cores around. It's just the circumstances haven't played out where they can show their stuff.
And Coach, tonight, and look, you've been very honest about the offense all year long, and you guys have relied on defense and special teams. Of course, defense has always been very good at Kent Island, so that's not necessarily a surprise, although they're obviously playing at a very high rate this year. You take a look at the points allowed, which haven't been very many. But that said, tonight, how would you assess your offensive play? Obviously, one of the touchdowns you talked about on a defensive score.
I'd say our offensive play was fine today. We fumbled again on the first play of the game, which drives me a little bit crazy there. We got to make sure we don't do that. But, other than that, we punted one time. We went out on downs one time down in scoring position. Our offensive line did a good job today. And we did what we kind of want to do. We control the clock, run the ball downhill, not make mistakes other than that one fumble.
We talked a couple of weeks ago. I think it was week 6. And you had mentioned that every week we're going to have competition. Also, you guys have had some injuries, so you kept rotating in different players, et cetera. Going from week 6 to now week 9, has there been a solidification of the offensive line, Coach, or do you have guys that played this week on the line that did not play last week?
No, it's definitely solidified. We have a 6th offensive lineman who does come in and play because he deserves to play. But it's a pretty regular group. But there's competition. I'm sure it's like this around the Bayside. There's competition at every position every week. We actually had a young man step in tonight who hadn't really played for us much at all and was a difference maker on the defensive side of the ball, a senior for us on senior night. So, it was great seeing him take advantage of the opportunity he had.
Well, and you're absolutely right, and competition's great, although obviously from a head coaching standpoint or any coaching standpoint, whether you're a position coach, coordinator, et cetera, you hope that the guys that, say, started the previous week keep their jobs so that there's consistency there from week to week. You hope that, they get pushed, but that they meet the challenge, though.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely. I mean, we hope that people keep their jobs, but at the same time, it's week 10, and if somebody comes in this week and shows that they can contribute, they're going to be out on the field. That's just the way it's always going to be. And I think that's like that in every program. Everybody's, it's week 10, but we're still developing kids. And if somebody shows they can get the job done, they're going to get their opportunity to show they can do it.
Coach, you've been with Kent Island for a while now, an assistant coach before taking over the reins last year for Coach Sofanowski. Is this defense the best that you have had in the time that you've been there, or is it tough to kind of make that comparison given the fact you've had a lot of good defenses?
It's extremely tough to make that comparison because, I mean, I'm just in my head racing back and 20 fantastic defensive players pop into my mind from years past. Yeah. So it's difficult to say. The one consistent thing there is our defensive coordinator, Tim Goodrich, who you know, we look at the kids we have and we put them in a place that they can succeed. You know, we use their talents. We don't ask them to do something they can't do. So, absolutely, our defense is, in my opinion, the best in the league. But to compare them to previous Ken Allen teams would be really difficult.
Coach, how many players do you have on offense or defense that are going both ways?
I'd say probably four guys who go both ways consistently. There's guys who rotate in on both sides. Mm-hmm. I'd say four guys.
And
they're skill position guys.
Okay. Well, no, the reason I asked that is because if you have that great of a defense, you hope that your offense faces that kind of competition, and maybe they don't do so great in practice because the defense is so good, but that, you know, come game time, that offensive line, for instance, they won't have faced any tougher defense, so that game day should actually be easier than practice.
Yeah, our offensive line only plays offense. There's no guys there that go both ways.
So they get great work every week then?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We're talking with head coach Damian Ferragamo, that is, on the coach's side. I apologize, Coach. It's 10:05. I've been up since 3 a.m. this morning, so sometimes my recall isn't there exactly. But early in the year, and it was, we wrap things up, early in the year, special teams and defense was really carrying you guys, especially special teams, because that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, even at the pro level, that side of the football. And tonight you look at Queen Anne's, they had issues with extra points and punts. But is special teams an area that you guys devote probably as much time to as some of the as offensive defense, or more time than you think maybe other Bayside teams do?
Listen, I don't know what everybody else does. I think everybody says that special teams is a third of the game, which I think is wrong, because it's not. It's about 20% of the game. If you look at the stats, it's about 20% of the plays that happen. So what we try to do is make it 20% of our practice. You know, give it the amount of practice that actually happens in the game.
Right.
But we definitely take it seriously. You know, it's not a place to slip in a kid who's a good kid to play. It's your playmakers have to be on special teams, and ours are. And I think we had another good special teams day today. Our kickoff returns, we were at the 40 or more on the ones that we had. Our kickoff coverage was great. We had a great punt today. So you know, all those things are extremely important, especially when you're playing good football teams.
Oh, no question. Coach, next week, Queen Anne's, you can now talk about that. Obviously, rivalry game, the war on the shore. And I know, having coached and played before, that you know, you don't talk about it, but of course, you're always keeping tabs on that team throughout the year. And maybe in practice, you're installing a player or two here or there. But talk about what you see in Queen Anne's and the challenges for next week.
Well, yeah, and you see them throughout the year because you have scout film and they're playing the team you're playing.
Right.
Queen Anne's is what Queen Anne's is. They're going to be well coached. You know, they run their offense well. They've been running the same offense for who knows how long. You know, so their kids know what they're doing. They're a balanced team, have a good passing game, misdirection run. You know, a solid defense as always. So we know what we're getting. They know what they're getting with us. You know, I think we both put ourselves in a position where this is an all or nothing game. I think right now I'm not sure about the numbers, but I think we both are in the playoffs right now. We've clinched a spot.
Yes. Yes.
So you know, the important thing is to not make week 10 the Super Bowl, because both of us are playing week 11.
Well, I was going to say with that, and because you've coached in plenty of these games before where that scenario has played out, where a loss doesn't necessarily hurt you with the playoffs. Has that taken away maybe a little bit from the games in years past because of that? Because ultimately, yeah, you want to win that game, but the goal, though, at the end of the day is to win the state championship. And you know, if you happen to lose week 10, well, then so be it, because it's not the end of your season.
Well, it's important to win week 10. We're going to try to win week 10.
Sure.
Without a doubt. The challenge is after week 10's over. If you won, you can't spend all week patting yourself in the back, and if you lose, you can't spend all week feeling sorry for yourself. Because week 11 and week 12 is a lot more important than week 10. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
If you have beat up guys, though, for instance, Coach, where you look at this game where they could use another week of rest, though, and I'm not saying that's the case coming up in this one, but I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically, when you have something like that, though, aren't you more likely to say, well, you know, we'll lose the battle here, but we're looking to win the war?
I don't know. That scenario hasn't come up. You know, the way I look at kids who are banged up, if they're good enough to play, they're going to play. If they're not, you know, if it puts a kid at risk of more injury, then obviously they're not going to play. So, I mean, I guess luckily that's never come up before. So, but make no mistake about it. We want to win week 10. We're going to try to win week 10.
And I know in general, at this point, I mean, you guys who you are, you guys, are who you are, and Queen Anne's is who they are. But in terms of any wrinkle here or there, if you know that you may face that team in the playoffs again, and this game, again, if you happen to lose, doesn't necessarily hurt you guys, aren't you maybe likely to hold that back for the playoff game than, say, in a Week 10 matchup?
Yeah, I can definitely see that scenario.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what you expect from Ken Allen is the same stuff you've seen 1 through 9. And we expect from Queen Anne's the same stuff they've been running weeks 1 through 9. You know, all those wrinkles and all those special things are fine, but your base plays win and lose football games. So, you know, that's what we concentrate on getting better at every week.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm probably asking the wrong two teams about that because very straightforward teams, and certainly nothing wrong with that because it has worked for both programs for quite a while. It's been very successful. Well, Coach, we thank you for your time so much, and we look forward to the War on the Shore next week. Of course, Mark will be interviewing you on the field after the game, but hopefully we'll be able to catch up in the playoffs when I get out of the studio and onto the field. But thanks so much. And 9-0, going for 10-0, perfect season next week. And again, I know that you want to come out to Victor, but you also want to come out healthy in that one and good to go for the playoffs, and should be a great one next week, no question. Coach, thank you much.
Oh, thanks for having
me. All right, take care. Hey, Coach Damian Ferragamo of the Kent Island Buccaneers. And you have to be honest about it, though. You do. And Coach Walsh, you have to be honest about it. Depending on the circumstances, in a rivalry game, look, if you're a player, you want to beat that team. And if they're a rival, you want to beat them as many times as possible. As a player, I can tell you that right now. As a fan, I can tell you that right now. As a coach, though, you have to be smart about it. If you're banged up, if you're looking at adding a wrinkle, et cetera, a couple of wrinkles here and there, yeah, you're likely to possibly hold that back. Now, you could say, well, but Mike, you got to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, you got to worry about today. Today. Well, yes, but if losing the game, if you happen to lose it, you're going to play it to win as best you can. But if that happens not to have that big of an impact, then you save some of that stuff. Of course, you could also say, well, if you pull out a wrinkle in week 10, that's an extra thing that they have to game plan for maybe a week 12 matchup. Well, that's fair. That's a side of the argument you could bring up there as well. But the bottom line is that the state championship is ultimately the goal here. And so you get into these scenarios, what do you do exactly? But both teams are very straightforward teams, so you're not going to see them change, an eighth or a sixth of their playbook for one game. That's just not who they are, and that's not what got them there, and they're probably a lot better off for doing that. All right, so that's Kent Island. We'll go around the Bayside. We've talked to Easton head coach Matt Griffith. We talked to head coach Damian Ferragamo. We're going to try to catch up with Cambridge South Dorchester coach Jake Coleman, also Kent County head coach as well, Brendan Ironton, and Curtis Richardson head coach Dan Magnum. Now, if my math is correct, and I hope it's not, but I take a look here. If my math is correct, the Perryville win over Joppatown tonight would give Perryville a 1-point edge, a 1.10 edge over Colonel Richardson, which means that, even if Perryville were to lose next week, that they would still, when they play Perryville next week, plays Rising Sun, and that's a toss-up game. But even if Perryville were to lose next week, that unless Colonel pulled the upset of North Carolina, and let's be honest, that's, with all due respect, that's not happening, that Colonel will be on the outside looking in by a point, a little over a point. And unfortunately for them, a 9-game schedule this year because of Reginald Lewis backing out. So it looks like the win tonight for Colonel over Washington, at the end of the day, just a little short on that. Just a little short. Still a really good season. They've got one more game to go, but again, I don't think most people think that they're going to pull the upset. As Perryville defeated Joppatown 31-8. Elkton, by the way, winners over Scrappy Patterson Mill Group, though, 33-14. So as we take a look in that 2A East, and I know we got to get to break, we'll do that. If you look at that 2A East, Kent Island winning tonight, North Carolina losing. They were in the second seed. Elkton was in the third seed, and Queen Anne's was in the fourth seed. Now, Queen Anne's trailed Elkton by just 0.4 of a point coming in. So their win tonight should bump them up. I've got to take a look, though, with Elkton's win over Patterson Mill. Patterson Mill is a 1A team. So that ultimately, and they did have two wins, though, but what that should mean is that Queen Anne's ought to be bumped up to number two, and then we'll have to see, but it looks like that Elkton would be three, so Elkton would stay where they are, and North Carolina would drop to the four seed, which means that we could have a North Carolina-Kent Island first-round matchup. We'll have to see. All right, 10:15 is the time. We're break. We're back next.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's Easton, Maryland's only high school football show on game night, is Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM.
Have a child that needs driver's ed? Maybe you need to attend the Driver's Improvement or Point System Conference class. In either case, you want to make the right choice by calling Bayside Driving School. Bayside Driving School has been locally owned and operated since 1982 and has the most experienced instructors. Driver's Ed classes start monthly in Talbot, Queen Anne, Caroline, and Dorchester. So call to reserve your spot today. For more information, call Bayside Driving School at 410-822-4411 or visit them on the web at baysidedriving.net. Make the right choice. Go Bayside.
Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has seven big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package, too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
Matt, look out for that skunk!
I didn't even see that until you said something.
Here, try these.
What a difference. No glare.
That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415.
We're talking with physical therapist Rick Perrette from Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates in the Adirondack Medical Center in Kent Island. Tell me a little bit about what services you guys provide.
We're an office that provides occupational, speech, physical therapy. We have an athletic trainer and a wellness program. We provide these services for pediatrics and for adults.
So let's say I'm having some neck or back pain. How do I end up in your office?
A lot of insurance companies require referrals from your primary care or doctors, but with Maryland law, we can see you directly. Best way is to call our office at 410-604-2988. And we can get you the answer.
That's Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates with a state-of-the-art facility in the AAMC building just off Route 50 in Kent Island.
From the Queen Anne's County Lions to the Cambridge South Dorchester Vikings, we have football covered in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 10:18 on the OTL. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn & Suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios, Mike Bradley along with you. Let's go right back out to the coaches' line. Joining us from the Kent County Trojans, head coach Brendan Ireton is Kent County winners tonight over Arcadia, Virginia, 48-13. Coach, I know you had a very long bus trip. Are you still on the bus right now?
No, we actually stopped to get something to eat.
Oh, I see. So all right. Yeah. All right, so you're not home yet, though. You're stopping to eat right now.
Yeah, we got a long way to go.
Oh, man, that's tough. I'm trying to think when I played at Calvert Hall, the longest bus trip that we had, I don't think it was 3 hours. I think we got pretty fortunate. I think maybe the longest was down to Southern or South River in Adirondack County, and that's, in the whole scheme of things, really not that bad at all, especially compared to this bus trip.
Right.
Oh, man. Now, maybe Linganore, that I think about. I think Linganore was a little bit further out, actually. Linganore and Frederick. Anyway, winners tonight, though, 48-13. How did you guys start coming out of the bus, Coach? I mean, did that bus drive get you guys off to a slow start, or did you come out of the gates rolling?
No, we actually came out ready to play, and I was actually really happy. We looked really good in warm up, so I knew we were going to do for a big night. So we had 28, I think, first quarter points. It was 28-0 at the end of the first. Defense showed up, offense, especially we scored, I think, in all three phases today, and we even had a drop kick for an extra point. So
a drop kick for an extra point?
Yeah.
Who did that? Wow.
Our kicker, Donnie Forgan.
I'm sorry, who?
Our kicker, Donnie Forgan, did it. So he didn't even know what one was. I just kind of explained it to it, and he went out there and did it. Went right down the middle. So it was pretty good.
He told you he was going to do that?
No, I asked him. He didn't know what it was until I told him what it was, and he just went out there and tried it.
Oh, what? Wow. Coach, what was that? That's truly having fun at that point. You're putting on caution to the wind, saying, hey, what the heck, because we're up, well, drop kick it.
They were coming off the edge pretty hard, and I didn't want to risk, somebody running into a holder or kicker or get someone hurt. So I was like, you know what? I was like, let's just try and see what happens.
Wow. So. Wow. Well, things are going good when you say, hey, drop kick it. The kid doesn't know what it is. You tell him, and he goes and converts it. That's a good night, Coach. It doesn't get better than that.
No, it doesn't.
Wow. All right, so scoring in all three phases of the game, 28 first quarter points. Who did some of the scoring for you?
Sky Kalk had 2 touchdowns. I think Silas Phillips had a touchdown. Mark Juan, I think, had 4 total. Devin Thompson had a touchdown. So we had numerous guys score tonight.
All right, for 48-13, the final, you said Marquand Green had 4?
I think he, ran for 2. He returned interception for a touchdown and threw for another one or something like that. So, yeah.
Getting it done in all phases of the game, running, throwing, interceptions, it's phenomenal. And good to see some other guys you mentioned, Takai Kalk and Silas Phillips as well, who probably don't get enough love because of Marquand Green being so good. But nah. I have made mention before that you do have other guys on that team as well, skilled. All right, so you guys are proved to 5-4. Any challenges tonight that Arcadia posed? I know that they had the big fullback, but it looks like you guys were pretty much able to have your way. Any issues tonight?
I mean, yeah, he had a couple. I mean, it was, of course he's going to get it. He's a big kid. And, but it was 35-0 at the half. And I thought we did a pretty good job. And we bottled him. And he finally got a touchdown against our second team. So, I was pretty pleased with the way we played. I think we had a lot of plays in the backfield. We had a couple turnovers that we forced. And it was good. It was good to come out and play pretty strong for an entire game. Felt pretty good about it, and I think it's a good way to go into Falls next week.
And, Coach, tonight, Bo Manor getting the win. I don't have a score on me right now, but Bo Manor getting the win. It looks like points-wise, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys defeat Falston, maybe you've already done the math probably, would you leap into that second seed, or would you still be relegated to the third seed?
No, I think what it comes down to is I think if we win, I think we lock up the third seed next week. So, and then if we can't take care of business next week, then we got to wait and see what Perryville does.
Okay, so. Perryville did beat Joppatown tonight. It looks like, by my math, they're going to leapfrog Colonel Richardson by 1.1 points. And then with Colonel not likely to beat North Carolina, that means that even if Perryville were to lose next week against Rising Sun, that they would have that fourth seed. You guys would have the third seed then.
Right.
So we'll see. But Falston tonight... Falston, I believe they were winners tonight. They came into the game at 3-5, so they've got four bonus points they would carry, and then 2A, you're getting 6 points for that as compared to 5.
But we got to come out and take care of business. Falston, they got some players, and they're going to be tough. So I think it'll be a very good test for us, especially with their size, and they got a quarterback he's a gunslinger. So they're 80% fast.
Are they really?
They're going to come out and they got a couple good running backs, and it's gonna be a tough game. So it's gonna be their last game for their seniors. So at third place. So we'll see what happens.
Now you guys played them last year, right?
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, how many players do they have back from last year's team? Roughly speaking.
I don't know off the top of my head. I know the quarterback graduated last year, but then the quarterback they got this year is pretty much almost identical. So
okay. And last year, Coach, refresh my memory, because like I said, I told Coach Ferragamo I've been up since 3 a.m., so my recall isn't that great. Did you guys win that game last year?
No, we lost. That was a game I felt like we should have won, and we let slip away. So, this year, I think, with the way we've been playing all deep, I feel like this year our defense is much better than what it was last year. You know, even at Spurs, we haven't looked as good as I'd like, but, you know, I feel like we're better enough on defense. You know, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a good test for us. So I'm excited for next week, big time.
Well, you're definitely right about the defense, and you've got some athletes to match up. You talk about them throwing the football 80% of the time, but when you've got guys like Marquand Green back there, right. who I know you've played at linebacker, but he's kind of like a Jabril Peppers, right? He can play corner, safety, wherever you need him to back there. He can match up well. Ta'Kai Calk, does he play secondary for you guys?
Refresh me? Yeah, he plays corner. We got a lot of guys we rotate in the secondary. So, you know, like Marquand played three safety types, so we've done a lot of mixing and matching, just trying to get guys ready for the long run. So.
Yeah. Well, and next week, then, it looks like the goal is to keep their offense off the field by effectively running the football on your side of it.
Yeah, definitely. So, it's like I said, it's going to be fun. So, we were doing a little different things the last couple weeks, and just kind of, I'm excited to go back to practice and see what we can work on and get better, and I know the kids are, and just we're ready to take next steps. So, it's going to be a good one for us.
All right, and Coach, I'm going to let you go here. I know you're going to need to get back to your food. Where did you guys stop, by the way, on the way back here?
McDonald's. I'm going to have heartburn in like a half hour.
Which McDonald's are we talking about here?
I think the one in Pocomoke. And
Pocomoke. Well, David Inslee tweeted out last week that I think they locked the doors on Colonel when Colonel tried to get in there to order some food at Pocomoke.
I guess you guys are earlier.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Coach, congratulations. We'll let you go. Safe travels on the way back to Wharton tonight. But Kent County winners are now 5-4. Big matchup at Falston out of Hartford County next week as Kent County looks to close out the season going into the playoffs on a high note. All right, Coach, thanks much. We'll talk to you down the line.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. That's head coach again, Brendan Ireton of Kent County. Let's go out to line two, Overtime Live. Who's this?
Hey, handsome, how are you?
David Inslee, we were just talking about you, the McDonald's and Pokemon there.
My ears were burning, and yes, here's what happened. Colonel's bus pulled up at 10:45. The lobby was open until 11, and somebody in the store ran to the doors and locked them and only let people in under the condition they weren't with the Colonel bus. The problem is one of the people they let in was the teenage daughter of one of the Colonel assistants. So the fit hit the shan, as they say.
Yeah.
And, I complained because I was actually denied service, too. And I'm not looking at it right now because I'm driving, but I am currently in possession of a $10 McDonald's gift card, courtesy of the people that own that franchise, along with everyone on the Colonel team.
Wow.
And players. And here's another thing, is the Colonel assistant coach's daughter was talked to the store. His wife told him the other day that a friend she went to school with just mentioned on Facebook she had just been named the manager of the Pocomoke McDonald's. So what does that tell you, campers?
Wow. Well, and they want, what, $15 an hour, right? Yeah, that's good. They're going to lock you out with 15 minutes to go because they don't want to work a minute past 11 o'clock. But, David, it sounds like my Friday morning show. I'm sorry. Or my morning show at the beach, that is. So let me get by.
That means I'm worth 40 an hour now.
Yeah. Does that mean, Colonel, by the way, did they had to go somewhere else to get food, or did they end up letting him in?
Yeah, they ended up going, they took 13 home to cut over through, I guess, Seaford to get there, and they stopped somewhere else along the way. And, of course, I happened to cover Colonel tonight, and Dan Mangum handed me my envelope with my gift card in it. I said, what we really ought to do is go to the Pocomoke McDonald's after this game and raise our cups and toast to the former manager of the McDonald's.
There you go. All right, well, let's get to football now. You could correct me if I'm wrong. I know you're in the car, but with Perryville winning tonight over Joppa Town, my math tells me that they have a 1.10 lead over Colonel Richardson, and barring a major upset next week of Colonel over North Carolina, it looks like Perryville's win tonight has solidified themselves in the four seed.
I think that's going to definitely hurt Colonel a lot. It might put Perryville over the top. I don't know. I'm going to talk to Sheldon Shuler here later on. I'm sure he's probably fielding one of 150 calls he gets every Friday night right now. But it's entirely possible. And that would kind of be bad for Colonel. Ironic, though, that they've come to closest. They've, been to the playoffs for 12 years in a year when they had only 9 games.
Right. And they get a big win on the road against Washington. This one 20-6, the final. This was 14-0 going into the fourth quarter. Washington scored on a 4th-and-10 on a 10-yard pass to make it 14-6. They missed the extra point, and then Colonel turns around and answers with, I believe, a 35-yard touchdown run by Eric Joseph, and they close things out much like the way they did against Nandua. They get the job done on the road in a very important game. And look, even if they don't make the playoffs, two big road wins like that, that's something you could build your program off of. And if they finish 4-5, they match what they did last year pretty much. Very respectable for a team that lost some big-time offensive talent last year.
Yeah, and they're going to lose some this year, too.
Yeah.
Senior, he had around 175 and two scores. His second TD, the last one that put the final nail in the coffin, was after that 10-yard score, the kickoff was fair caught by Colonel at their 42. The very first snap, there goes Joseph off to the right side because a couple kids tried to arm tackle him. And Eric Joseph is kind of a burly dude. He's not a small tailback, scatback type guy. He will knock your butt down, and he'll just run right over you. They tried to arm tackle him, and it just wasn't happening.
Well, I tell you what, Colonel Richardson, you tip your cap to them and the job that they've done so far. I know they've got one more game left, but however it turns out, I think that they could certainly hold their heads up high. But my math tells me that Perryville win, unfortunately, is a death knell for the playoffs for them.
Yep.
But nonetheless, because Joppatown had three wins coming in, and that just gives them the slight edge there. So anyway,
yeah, that's going to be that would be worth the same amount as Washington. Worth tonight, actually. No, Joppatown's
2A, though,
aren't they?
Joppatown is not.
Yeah, so, either way, it's
Joppatown is a 1A North team.
Okay, so that would be worth the same amount Washington was worth.
Correct, and Washington had two wins coming in.
I thought they had three.
It says two here. I had three, okay, too, I thought, but they have two here.
They beat Snow Hill. And they beat, I'm high on Chipotle food right now, so I've never eaten there before.
All right, we'll double check that. I'm double checking that as we speak. Let's move on, though, to tonight's game, our Overtime Live Friday Lights game of the week, Queen Anne's in North Carolina. Queen Anne's wins 19-7. You and I both picked Queen Anne's. I thought that one of the differences might be that Queen Anne's, I thought, had a stronger quarterback. It really didn't come down to Mike D'Angelo as much for Queen Anne's. Cody Pepper was called upon late in the game to have to throw the football in some tough situations coming from behind with not a lot of time left. A couple of picks in that one. I'm not going to put it all on him either. But at the end of the day, though, Queen Anne's gets it done. A big touchdown late in the first half, the difference in the game.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a new Bayside rule. I'm not allowed to be in the game with Potter because, no stadium's big enough for those two big mouths. So I hope he enjoyed the game. I didn't get to see it. I guess next week he'll do Queen Anne at Kent Island. I'm going to have Superintendent's Cup, which will be, I think, 13th installed in North Carolina at Colonel. So, but that was a big game tonight for Queen Anne. But here's a weird little bit of trivia for you, Mike. Who would have thought that North Dorchester volleyball would have more wins right now than Kent Island football? Isn't that crazy? It's a second-year program, and they've got 10 wins. And they may well make the regional final. And I got to give a lot of credit to Carol Hubbard and that team. We don't talk about girls' sports much on this show, but that's commendable for my old high school, which had field hockey for eons that didn't have a lot of success. For them to go 2 years into volleyball, and they're the top seed in their section.
Congratulations to them. Yeah, that's out of my league. There's a reason why we don't talk girls' sports. In fact, outside of football on the Bayside, I really don't know a whole lot, to be quite honest with you. So
I'm just teasing Ferragamo and Kent Island. They're having a hell of a year, and I would still have to pick Kent Island to win the game next week, but it's going to be one for the ages. There have been some hump diggers between these two teams, and this coming week is going to be 9-0 against 8-1, and that's going to be an amazing game to watch.
Well, an interesting conversation with Coach Ferragamo about it. Look, both teams are very straightforward teams. They're not the kind of teams that would be throwing out a bunch of wrinkles in this game anyway. But as I made mention, if you did have the opportunity to throw some wrinkles into the game plan, also and or if you had some banged up players, knowing that a loss here doesn't take you out of the playoffs, maybe you hold it back for a playoff matchup. And he said, yeah, I could see a scenario where you do that. You go to win, but yeah, I mean, look, depending on the situation, maybe you don't show all your cards necessarily in week 10 if you're going to play week 12, for instance.
Right. I would, you don't want to betray the back page of the scorebook or the playbook quite yet. But if you have to, you might have to resort to it yet. Oh, by the way, there was one other thing I wanted to mention to you. I heard tonight from my friend Eric Fikes, who's a Bayside referee. He was at the Kent County Arcadia game, by the way, and was telling me about that drop kick. So, kudos to Kent for that. But the James M. Bennett game tomorrow at home against Decatur is truly at home. They're going to be playing that game at Bennett. They're calling that field the Shipyard.
Oh, okay. All right, they do have football. Okay. They do have a football field there. Yeah, well, the thing is, though, when there were the storms a couple of weeks ago, they still couldn't play the game there. I guess they were trying to preserve the field, though.
Yeah. But
so much for a brand-new school and a brand-new stadium and all that money, and the field was unplayable.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. But you don't want to wreck it the first year you have it.
No, that's fair. Well, actually, I think it's the second year. But anyway, no, that's right. But anyway, back to next week with Queen Anne's Kent Island. Look, the players want to win. They want to win from a coach's standpoint. Maybe you have to be a little bit more practical about certain things you do or don't do if you end up facing each other 2 weeks potentially down the line, or even that very next week. But again, these teams, they are who they are. So I wouldn't expect a lot of wrinkles anyway. Right. But if there are to be some, yeah, maybe they hold it in their back pocket. We'll see about that. And I get it. Kent Island is going to be favored in this one. You know, I have Queen Anne still ranked ahead of them. But I tell you what's problematic is tonight Queen Anne's special teams weren't very good. It's been a strong point for Kent Island. And that could end up being a phase in the game that makes a difference for him with Bert Schreckengast.
Right, yeah. And Bert, of course, is the principal kid. So if he doesn't do well, then I'm sure he's going to be disappointed.
That could very well be. Yeah, a timeout for him. Yeah. And
but also,
Saturday detention.
Give a quick shout-out to Easton football. Elkton won tonight, which means Easton will not be making the playoffs this year. But
okay, so that is official. Okay.
Yep. That is official. I saw Elkton tweet out that they had won. So that closes the last possible door for Easton playoff hopes. And, but that being said, I still think they're going to beat CSD next week. They had a little bit of a struggle against Fly High this week, but, Chambers might surprise me and beat them. It does, I can pay the same amount either way, luckily. But, I think that Easton should really be proud of the fact that they're going to be at their absolute worst. They're going to be four games better out of a 10-game schedule than they were last year.
Yeah, and that was my point. And I talked about the fact that I thought that Easton would be able to bounce back with the amount of seniors and that they would have a good shot at winning out their last two games. And certainly next week will be a very tough task. And tonight was a little tougher. They did get off to a slow start. They didn't bounce back into practice very well. And, with young kids like that, that's not surprising. But I thought ultimately they'd find a way to win tonight, and they did that. I certainly didn't think that they would tank. They didn't. They win 23-12, and I agree. I certainly give them the edge next week against Cambridge, but that game is on the road. Cambridge has had a winning streak for the most part against them, or they've won the series more times than not over the last 10 years. They've dominated it, although there have been plenty of close games, though.
Yeah. Cambridge, historically, I think, has the winning record in the overall rivalry, but it's one of those games, man. I mean, there have been years. I've heard anecdotes from former players, including Jake Colvin, who said, there have been years where one of us was 1-8, and the other one was 8-1, and it was a knockdown drag out until the final whistle. So that's what I expect. I don't know if Brad Dennis will be available to kick an amazing game-winning field goal this year, so I guess Tyler Harding is going to have to try to fill that role.
That's right. Next man up. You're right. But you're right. Easton, though, great turnaround this year. Unfortunately, the door shut on them. I thought that was probably the case with Elkton defeating Patterson Mill 33-14, but I wasn't 100% sure. By the way, I did go back and take a look. Washington, two wins, Snow Hill and Hancock from Western Maryland. So those are the two. But, yeah, not three wins. So, So Joppatown had one more win coming in than Washington did. So that's the difference there between Perryville and Colonel Richardson, and will the points come out Monday?
Right. We'll see what happens. Now, Shelton, of course, will post his thing, and I'll plug his site real quick. It's mdprepfootball.com, all one word. And you poke around on there, you can find all the stuff, the schedules, the state poll in which I vote. I will admit to one little beef about the state poll. Is there's a team right now that's 4-5. And they're still ranked in the state poll. And yes, it's Bishop McNamara, and yes, they've been a powerhouse. But you can play the Atlanta Falcons 10 times a season, but if you don't beat them, that doesn't mean you're good.
Yeah, we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, and no, I agree with you on that. Speaking of which, Kent Island got some more votes, top 25 votes this past week, which is great to see. I think they got 11 votes, in fact. Was it 11?
Yeah, I wasn't the only one that put them in the poll this week. It just so happens that a guy from a newspaper in Carroll County, when Shelton sends out the poll, every now and then somebody will hit the reply all button instead of the reply button. And this guy sent his vote to everybody on the voting panel. So I knew what the sports editor for the Carroll County Times picked this week. And he was like, he did put McNamara in the 25, and he did put Ken Island in it. I think he had him actually at 23rd on his vote. That was worth 3 of the 11 points Ken Island got total. So, yeah, Ken Island is on the state radar now. But, again, you know, we're the Eastern Shore. We tend not to play the monster team. And because of that, we tend not to get as much notice. You know, Cambridge played Fort Hill a couple of times. Ken Island has played a couple of Western Shore teams. We did play a couple. But, you know, until we're winning state championships or making the state championship, we're probably not going to see anybody in the poll anytime soon. However, I think we've got some teams that are going to make a lot of noise deep in the playoffs this year.
And finally, David, quick note, North Carolina, David Bailey played tonight. He wasn't 100%, still had a pretty good game, but Quinn Ann's loaded the box to shut him down, though, all in all. Hopefully he gets healthier and he gets to be close to 100%, but at the end of the day, if he's not, he doesn't have that breakaway speed, that obviously could be the difference in a game if North Carolina and say Queen Anne's or Kent Island were to face each other again in week one of the playoffs or week two. And I think the way things are going to fall right now with the loss, Elkton will stay at 3, Queen Anne's will bump up to 2, and North Carolina will drop to 4. If it stays that way, we don't know for sure. If it stayed that way, then you would have a Kent Island, North Carolina round one of the playoff matchup.
Right, and that would be up at Schiphol Stadium, and that's a tough place to win. I don't think I've seen, and this is including the 2011 game where Soconowski finally beat Queen Anne for the first time. I can't remember the last time I saw Kent Island lose a home game. Not saying they don't do it, obviously, but it's a hard place to win. It's like Chris Field's gym and basketball team. It's hard to win there.
Yeah. Well, Elkton did it last year, but they're not a Bayside team, though. So.
True.
Yep.
True.
All right, well, David, how can people find you on the web and on Twitter?
Well, Twitter is at Dave Talks Sports. We're talking about a lot of other stuff. If anybody out there had Anthony Weiner in your October surprise office pool, you're a winner.
So, I saw that earlier. That's good.
Throw that out. That's crazy. This is the weirdest election cycle. I'm actually voting for Sweet Meteor of Death this year. So, you know, the asteroid that destroyed the whole planet, that's got my vote. So, yes, at Dave Talks Sports, like I said, I talk about all kinds of crazy nonsense on there. But the place where the rubber hits the road is the good stuff is StarDev.com/blogs/bleachers, and that's where I've got my picks, game stories, all the good stuff is up there. So take a look at it. The subscriptions for the website are really cheap, so you know it's worth the time, worth the effort. It's kind of like your site; it's got some good stuff on there as well.
All right, David, thanks so much. We appreciate it, and we will talk next week.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, you too. Appreciate it. David Inslee, the Star Democrat, joining us and learn all sorts of things with him, don't you? All right, 10:42, back with more next.
Here's what your friends and neighbors are saying about Higginbottom Orthodontics.
The doctors and their staff are amazing, always pleasant and professional, and explain everything thoroughly to my children. It's obvious that they genuinely care about their patients.
At Higginbottom Orthodontics, we believe that every day is something to smile about. Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Higginbottom, and along with my dad, Dr. Mark Higginbottom, and my brother, Dr. Kyle Higginbottom, we invite you to choose us first for all of your orthodontic needs. We have over 50 years of experience in treating your family like our family with braces, clear braces, and Invisalign services for all ages. Schedule your free initial consultation today. Flexible payment options are available, and to find out more about our office, please visit us online at HigginbottomOrthodontics.com or call our office at 410-822-3626 and see how we can help you smile with style.
Fall savings at Ben Franklin Crafts. Save 33% off all fall bushes, fall ribbon bolts, creativity for kids box kits, and Winsor & Newton artist oils. Save 40% off all fall scarecrows, Gamelin artists oils, and Sweet Beads charms. Save 50% off all custom framing orders. Create, embellish, just add imagination. Ben Franklin Crafts, Easton Plaza, Marlboro Road, Easton.
Chincheck Sports Locker is the place to go for all of your local sports team spirit wear. Located at the Tread Avon Square on Marlboro Road, Chincheck Sports Locker offers custom-made spirit wear using sublimation, screen printing, and embroidery. Need team uniforms or sports equipment? Chincheck Sports Locker now carries Under Armour. Chincheck Sports Locker is also your one-stop shop for lacrosse gear. And Chincheck Sports Locker isn't just for sports teams. Get that team spirit for your business, too. Check out Chincheck Sports chinchecksportslocker.com or find them on Facebook. To place your orders, call Chincheck Sports Locker at 443-239-0178. Chincheck Sports Locker, now located at the Tred Avon Square by Acme on Marlboro Road in Easton.
Attention contractors, Supplies Unlimited of Del Marva and Baltimore can provide you with a full line of gypsum products and accessories for your residential and commercial projects. So whether you need wallboard, sheathing, metal framing, or insulation, Supplies Unlimited is the place for you. Need doors or frames? Yes, they do those too. Supplies Unlimited and Baltimore Door and Frame have been serving Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware for over 30 years. Prompt delivery is available, so don't delay and place your next order with Supplies Unlimited and Baltimore Door and Frame. Call 1-800-938-2294 or visit SuppliesUnlimitedInc.com. Easton Cycle and Sport features more than just two wheels. Paddleboarding is the new craze, and Easton Cycle and Sport has just what you're looking for. Want to relax on the water? Easton Cycle and Sport also has canoes and kayaks. Make Easton Cycle and Sport your destination for cycling, paddling, and lacrosse. Stop by and check the great selection at 723 Goldsboro Street in Easton or call 410-822-7433.
Sport Clips. America's haircut place for men and boys boldly asks, who invented the demolition derby? Man, yes, guys live their life a little differently. At Sport Clips, guys find sports on TV, a relaxing neck and shoulder massage, our legendary hot steam towel, and a haircut that always looks great. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, with locations in Easton, Kent Island, Salisbury, and coming soon to Cambridge. Visit sportclips.com.
The Edge Training Academy is your one-stop shop for all your training goals. Whether you're looking to improve the way you feel, to improving your on-field performance, the Edge Training Academy is the place for you. What can the Edge do for you? Here are what some of our clients are saying.
The Edge has definitely made me a stronger, faster, and smarter athlete.
Developed me into an athlete like no other.
It's just created monumental change in not only my physical play, but my attitude as well.
The Edge Training Academy is located at 220 Law Canoe Circle in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park in Stevensville. For more information, check us out online at theedgetrainingacademy.com or call us at 443-249-3133.
On your own, you have limits, and Coach Willie and his staff push you well beyond those to let you reach new heights that you didn't even know you were capable of.
The Edge Training Academy, where passion meets performance.
It's Overtime Live with Mike Bradley, the only show on the shore covering high school football in the Bayside Conference. Here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 10:46 on the OTL, brought to you by Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus Easton Inn & Suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. Back out to the coaches' line we go, and we appreciate it this late hour. Head coach of the Colonel Richardson Colonels, winners tonight over Washington 20-6. Head coach Dan Magnum joining us. And coach, congratulations on the win tonight. And I made mention of my What We Learned segment blog that, you know, coming into this game, you had a week off, so hopefully rested, relaxed, recuperated. But also having won on the road in a tough one against Nandua on the eastern shore of Virginia in a game that you had to win, tonight was very similar.
Yeah, tonight, you know we're trying to keep our playoff hopes alive. You know, we saw Washington. They did some good things against Cambridge, and we came out and got it done.
I was going to say, you did see that game against Cambridge, and this is a Washington team that is improved. Maybe it doesn't look like it a lot in the win-loss column, but you hear a lot of the coaches say that they can see improvement, and they're probably another year or two away. They got a lot of young players that have a lot of experience, though, because they had to play a lot of freshmen last year. But, Coach, coming into this one, though, you take an early lead, 14-0, and going into halftime, that's huge to set the tone there and get off to a good start on the road, because obviously, you know, the other way around is easier to come back from at home, but not so much so on the road.
Yeah, I mean, we were feeling pretty good about ourselves, up 14-0 at half, and, you know, we just told the kids, hey, we got to take it to them in the second half. They cut the lead to 14-6 at one point. We came back right back to score, and we were able to run the clock.
Coach, how much did that week off play in tonight's performance? Did it make a major impact, minimal impact? What do you think?
I think it made a major impact for us defensively. I think, you know, we had 2 weeks to prepare for them. I thought our defense played outstanding. We had a little hiccup on a punt, and they had really good field position. That was their only score of the night. But other than that, I mean, defensively, we played really well.
Coach, you sit 4-4 right now on the season, and I believe you had 4 wins last year, but to take a look at a lot of the offensive talent that you lost, only a 9-game schedule to be at this point in the year, realistically speaking, I don't think you could really ask for a whole lot more.
No, I truthfully, I mean, with, you know, our numbers were down. We had 6 seniors. We got a really small senior class. And, you know, I didn't truthfully think at the end of the season we would still be in a playoff conversation and be a 500 team, to be honest with you.
Well, let's talk about that, and I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. I'm certainly not official on this, but it looks like, though, with Perryville's win tonight, that they have edged you out by 1.10 points. Obviously, there's one more week to go, but we know North Carolina's going to be a lot tougher than Washington. But their win over Joppatown carrying 3 wins, Washington carrying 2. It looks like that'll give Perryville the edge over you guys coming into Monday's points.
Yeah, I'm not too sure it's that big of a gap between us and them. I know I don't think they factored in we received a win point for Nandua's win tonight over Northampton. So I'm not sure where the points are. They might have a slight edge, but I don't believe it's 1.1.
Okay. Well, and you're right. That's unofficial, and you talked about Nandua. I didn't know what they did tonight, but you're saying that they won, so that would help your cause then, and who knows then. Either way, it's going to be tight, though.
Oh, it's going to be tight. It's going to go into that last game. You know, we were hoping Joppatown would pull it off. They unfortunately didn't, and, you know, that hurts us. But, you know, we still control our own destiny. I mean, if we go out there and pull something off against North Carolina, it's not been done in a long time, you know, we're in. I don't care what Perryville does at that point.
Well, no question points-wise, you're absolutely right about that. Coach, let me ask you, what's it going to take to knock off North Carolina next week?
Well, I mean, we can't make mistakes like we continue to do at inopportune times. I mean, when you're playing, we got away with it tonight. We made some, it's kind of been a common thread with us where we do really good things and then we just, somehow we you know, we don't focus. And if we can do that against North Carolina, I think we'll be in the game at the end.
It'll be interesting to see what North Carolina decides to do. David Bailey did play tonight after injuring his knee a couple of weeks ago. He did play tonight, didn't look 100%, but with their loss, you wonder if they decide to rest him. And if they did, I mean, honestly, that would be a big help to you guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a tremendous athlete, and he might be the best running back in the conference. And I don't know how. I haven't looked at their point system. If a win or a loss affects them as far as seeding, obviously they're going to want to beat us if they can get a higher seed. If not, then, you know, what's the matter? They'll probably arrest them. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time, and congratulations on the win tonight, 20-6 over the Washington Jags, as Colonel improves to 4-4, and we'll see how the points come out on Monday. It'll be very close. And again, you're right, because you've got some other games that you have to factor in depending on what they did with Perryville. And obviously, again, you mentioned Nandua Witters tonight, so we'll see how it comes out on Monday. So it'll be razor thin going into Friday's game, but this is all you could ask for. And certainly, Coach, so far, you know, based on last year and what you've done this year, is a pretty phenomenal job. And again, something that you can build on. No matter what happens, something you can build on for next year.
Well, thank you for that.
Yep. All right, Coach, thanks so much, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. That's Head Coach Dan Magnum of the Colonel Richardson Colonels. So, yeah, you know, my points, by the way, when I say that, it is unofficial, and didn't know what Nandua had done tonight. So that helps. That helps. He says he doesn't think it's that wide of a margin, which it's only a point, but in this case, it is quite a bit. So we'll see on Monday. Going to be interesting. And Perryville's game against Rising Sun next week, that's a toss-up. I don't know what Rising Sun did tonight. I know they came in with 2 wins, though. So that looks like to be a toss-up game. We'll just have to see. And Colonel Richardson taking on North Carolina. Tough task. And we'll see. And we'll see what happens with David Bailey and what they decide to do, what head coach James McCorvin decides to do. Still, though, even without David Bailey, that helps a lot. But still, North Carolina very capable of winning that game. And I think from an analyst standpoint that they they would do that. All right, we're back to wrap things up next, and we'll get a look at your Pret Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard one final time.
Serving Talbot, Dorchester, Caroline, and Queen Anne's County since 1919, Mensa Petroleum offers service contracts and 24-hour emergency service for all fuel oil customers and price cap protection for budget plan customers. Get peace of mind by talking with one of the Oil Heat representatives, eager to respond to all your heating and air conditioning needs. Mensa Petroleum, now with even better service than before. Ready, willing, and able to service you. Call Mensa Petroleum at 410-822-4335. That's 410-822-4335.
Football season is here, and Kerrio, where do you go for your tailgating supplies?
The only place to go, Krabby Grawls.
With locations in St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge.
We've got all your tailgating needs, Mark Potter, from Bloody Mary mixes to gourmet mustards, hot sauces, and barbecue sauces.
Everything you need to slap on your meat available at Krabby Grawls.
Don't forget your bacon ketchup and your hoodies.
It's all available at Krabby Grawls, St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge, and available online at KrabbyGrawl.com.
Need a plumber? Call Roto-Rooter Plumbing and Drain Service. Servicing Delmarva for over 30 years, they are the original Roto-Rooter that you can count on. Whatever your plumbing or drain service needs, they can fix it. Give them a call at 888-EDS-ROTO. That's 888-EDS-ROTO. Or check them out on the web at edsroto.com. When you hear this jingle, you'll know it's the real Roto-Rooter.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
It's Overtime Live with analysis, interviews, and predictions. Covering high school football in the Bayside Conference like none other. Here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, let's get one final look at your Pret Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard. Pret Moy Therapy Associates providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island at our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week. Queen Anne's improving to 8-1, 19-7 winners over North Carolina, that is, who drops to 7-2 on the season. No C.J. Rogers for Queen Anne's. David Bailey did play for North Carolina. The question is, will they play him this coming week? And I just haven't had the chance to take a look at the points, as Coach Magnum talked about. What will be the effect if North Carolina were to sit him out? They could still be Colonel without him, as I talked about. But we'll see what North Carolina decides to do with the situation. I'm predicting they're going to win the game. So even if he sits out, I don't think it's a situation where it's, okay, if David Bailey sits out, we have a great chance of losing the game. Don't believe that's the case. With all due respect to Colonel, don't believe that's the case. So I think that that may be the wise move there. Because they still win, and, you know, depending on what happens next week, Kent Island, Queen Anne's, Elkton, you know, we'll see. They can move up at all. But it's not likely that they're going to host a home game. So at that point, the 3-seed, 4-seed, that may not matter as much. And the opponent does. But, you know, Queen Anne's, Kent Island, flip a coin, right? Speaking of Kent Island, they remain undefeated, 9-0, with a 35-7 win over Parkside, who drops to 5-4. That was a closer game than you thought in Kent Island. One of those touchdowns off an interception return. But getting it done, Coach Ferragamo happy with the offense tonight. And that'll set up a 9-0 Kent Island and 8-1 Queen Anne's next week in the War on the Shore in Kent Island, Stevensville. It was Easton, 23-12 winners over Wicomico. They got off to a slow start, as you might expect, given the tough loss last week to Kent Island. And their playoff hopes very minimal. And with Elkton's win tonight, they're done. But they got it done tonight, despite that. 23-12, the winner. Wicomico drops to 3-6. Cambridge, 62-24 win over Snow Hill. No shock here. Cambridge now 7-2. Snow Hill dropping to 0-9. Kent County going on the road, a three-hour trip to Arcadia, Virginia. They're still driving the bus back as we speak. They improved to 5-4. Arcadia, I believe, drops to 3-6 or 3-7, but Kent County, big game next week against Falston, trying to improve their seeding in the 1A East right now. Bow Manor, a winner tonight. If they were to beat Falston, Falston comes in with, I believe, 4 wins tomorrow or next week. They were winners tonight, so they come in with 4 wins, and you've got 2A points there, so you get 6. So possibly if Bow Manor were to lose, which isn't likely, but if they were to lose and Kent County were to win, you'd have to take a look at any shot at Kent County maybe getting that 2-seed. Possibly. Have to see about that. They need some help as well. Curtis Richardson, big win on the road, 20-6. They needed it. They improved to 4-4. Washington drops to 2-7. Perryville winner tonight. So I'll have to see how the points play out based on what opponents they defeated. If those opponents won, we know Nandua won tonight, so that'll help Colonel. I didn't factor that into the points. And we'll have to see what Parkside wins, what they did tonight as well. But it'll be razor thin. But Colonel beating North Carolina, going to be tough to do in an upset. So if they do come out, obviously the points edge next Monday, then they're going to need Perryville to lose their final game. Colonel playing only a 9-game schedule this year. And tomorrow at noon, J.M. Bennett hosting Stephen Decatur. No, not at County Stadium, but at the, the Shipyard, I believe, is what David Inslee said. Yeah, there you go. At their semi-new school, and they do have a stadium in the back, although they played the majority of their games at County Stadium. All right, that's going to do it for me. That's it. We're done. Overtime Live in the books for week number 9. We are back next week with a war on the shore. That's right, Kent Island and Queen Anne's. And we'll have pregame at 6:45, your U.S. Heating and Air pregame at 6:45, and your Ben Franklin Crafts kickoff at 7 from Stevensville as 9-0 Kent Island hosts 8-1, that is, Queen Anne's. Ought to be a great one. Everything you can ask for. Once again, did they ever disappoint? No, they haven't in a while, and I don't expect them to next week. That's it. Have a great and safe weekend. We are back next Friday night right here on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. Good night.